This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 1960, just 11% of American children lived in homes without fathers. Today, that rate has jumped to 33% in the U.S. Joining us to discuss the important role a father plays in a child's life and how that role has evolved over the years, Dr. Gary Dick, professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati, and will be joined later by the director of the Fatherhood Project with the Talbert House, Harold Howard. And Gary, good to see you this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark. Good to be here.
You know, without a doubt, the role of fathers has changed a lot over the years. How has dad's role evolved? What changes have we seen?
Well, if we go back and think about something Margaret Mead said years ago, she said the two important things fathers need to do is stay alive and love the mother. Then I think we moved into where the majority of men would see their primary role as being a good provider. And we have come a long way from that. And today, I think most men want to be highly involved with their children. They want to be available. They want to be accessible. And they really want to immerse themselves in the role.
So when did the shift in the perception of fatherhood, when did that shift start to take place?
Really, it started as the women's movement started. And it didn't take many of us very long to recognize that as the roles of women would change, so would the roles of men. And in the early 1970s, you started seeing the emergence of the new nurturing father. However, if we go back in history and, for example, look at John Adams, John Adams was a very nurturing, involved father. So even though this new role emerged in the 70s, it does not mean that there were not nurturing fathers before that, of course. But even more today, I think that one of the trends that's becoming more important is that not only is the father embracing a nurturing role, but it's very important for fathers to be emotionally responsive to their children. And that's, in some ways, very different than nurturing. It's similar, but it has some differences. Nurturing is you're comforting, you're praising, you're kind, and so on. But when we talk about being emotionally responsive, we're talking about the father being aware of the inner life of his children, of their emotions and their feelings, and being able to talk to them about their feelings.
So there's a need for dads to balance this softer, nurturing side and this more involved side with the strong side, I would
Absolutely.
Take. That would be the ideal situation.
Right, right. And being able to look at themselves as a role model and think about almost every day, what am I going to teach my child by what I say and by what I do and by what I don't do? And I think we see that fathers today really have to have an awareness of their own inner life. They have to be psychologically minded to be able to think about themselves as they're interacting with their children, especially when they're disciplining them, and be aware of their own inner life so they're not overreacting.
You know, my wife has been working since the day she graduated. So when we had kids, you know, I had to take on a lot of the role of caring for the kids and nurturing, you know, because between the two of us, it took two of us to make mm-hmm. this happen. But I got to say, I've enjoyed it immensely because it helped me grow a closer relationship with my son. Is that one of the big benefits of this approach?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, Mark, I've asked many people is that, do you think you know your father's emotional life? And sadly, so many people look and shake their head and go, no. And so when you've got time to spend with your child, especially if you're doing activities that they enjoy, you're spending quality time, you're talking with them, you're playing with them, it builds that bond. And suddenly you discover, like, what joy there is in being a father.
What got you started studying fatherhood?
Actually, I started when I was working on my doctorate at Ohio State, and I was really interested in looking at men that were violent and what types of fathers they had. And so I studied two groups of men, a violent group of men that were involved in intimate partner violence, and a group of men that were not. And I found that, particularly when we looked at the self-esteem of these men, the men with high self-esteem had totally different fathers than the men with low self-esteem. men that felt good about themselves. They had more positive involvement with their fathers. They were more nurturing. They were more androgynous. They did a multitude of roles around the house. They were the moral father. They were very good providers. And the fathers who, or the dads in the study who had low self-esteem, had fathers who were much more negative and critical and controlling.
Now, is it still possible, though, that, even if you have a bad role model as a father, that you can learn something from that?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the neat things about, you know, having a dad that's sort of not doing what he's supposed to do is most people learn how to be a dad by having a good dad. But if you have a dad who's not doing very well, you learn how to be a father by what they didn't do for you.
Harold Howard, who is the director of the Fatherhood Project with Talbert House, is joining us. And good to see you, Harold. Thank
Hello,
you very
how
much.
You doing?
Good, thanks. Tell us about the Fatherhood Project, how that got started. What's that all about?
Fatherhood Project has been in existence for 17 years. It originally started with SUMA, Services United for Mothers and Adolescents. And the original concept of the Fatherhood Program, at the time, SUMA had a Teen Moms program. And so we were able to get funding from the O'Neill Foundation out of Cleveland, Ohio. And again, the original concept was to work with the teen fathers since we had a Teen Moms program. And so we worked with that population for a while, and we saw that it was a greater need in our community. And since that was, you know, private donation money, we were able to expand to serve any and all fathers. So the core services of the Fatherhood Project is case management. We do parenting classes. We offer legal services to any and all fathers around parenting time, which is, you know, custody, visitation, child support, things of that nature. We have an alumni, which we're extremely proud of. We have guys that have been connected with the program for well over 10 years. They come back. They see the value. They recruit new fathers into the program. And then we do father-child activities. More recently, we just added a co-parenting component, which we thought was important, because what we saw in the work is that, you know, typically when we successfully complete a father from the program, when they came back to us, it was typically because there was a breakdown in the relationship or communication between the father and his parenting partner. So now that we have this co-parenting piece, it's an opportunity for us to truly strengthen the communication between the mother and the father, so that they have, you know, because the child can ultimately succeed.
Yeah, so are you trying to help fathers balance out this whole notion of I'm the guy, I'm supposed to be strong and the provider, and yet at the same time you're trying to get them involved and more involved with their kids, being more of a caregiver, more of a nurturer? Is that kind of are you trying to help them achieve that balance and that whole thing?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And as you said, I mean, it's that whole, you know, I'm the father, I'm supposed to do this. And what we're saying is there really isn't a true role. The true role is just being a nurturing father. You know, and so at his root, we talk about, again, what does nurturing mean for the father? And so we work on fathers about, you know, how to appropriately hold your child, how to love your child, have appropriate expectations. You know, again, how does the brain develop? Those are all things that, you know, we found out that a lot of our fathers don't know coming into that relationship, because as Gary was saying, as I was walking in, I mean, sometimes, you know, they may not have had a father. So again, that path hasn't been set for a lot of our fathers. And so this is that opportunity for that path to be created, and then also to help them heal from any past wounds that they may have experienced in their life.
Yeah, I'd like to know what both of you think about that earlier statistic, about a third of kids nowadays growing up without a father. The figure was about, I think, 11% back in the 1960s. How big a deal is this, that we've had this explosion all of a sudden of kids without dads?
Well, it's a huge social problem. I was just in Akron the last few days working and training child welfare workers, and we had this discussion about what makes a good father. And they were saying that there's probably not a single kid on their caseload that where the father's involved in the case plan. And so their goal is to go out and try to find these fathers and get them involved. And if a father is not there, then we have to think about, is there another positive male role model in that child's life, an uncle, a grandfather, who can come in and begin to model and teach them things about how to be a human being?
Yeah, Gary, I think you bring up an excellent point. I mean, systematically, how are we defining, you know, fatherlessness? You know, a lot of times, oftentimes, We know that there are fathers that are involved in children's lives, and they may, you know, they may be involved from the standpoint they're no longer in the household, but they're there on the day to day. They're part of, you know, the school, the kids' academic success and things of that nature. So, you know, every time I hear that, I always ask for more, because I think there are more fathers out here that are doing an incredible job as a father and overcoming incredible odds to be the best father that they can be to their children.
You know, we had a comment from Joe, who says he's a dad. He sent a comment via Facebook, and he says, please be careful not to imply that kids need a man around to become good, productive adults. All-out paternalism is not the answer. I think he's got a point here, in that there are a lot of examples of kids who turn out fine.
Absolutely.
In a single-parent situation, mm-hmm. whether they're raised by a mom or a dad. What do you think of that, Gary?
Absolutely. I think we have to... Not when we talk about the important role of fathers, I think we have to be careful to always be cognizant of the fact that we're not saying children raised by single parents are turning out bad or they're missing the boat. I think that what happens a lot of times, there's a term called paternal deprivation. And we know about maternal deprivation when a mother leaves a child too early at a significant points in his development or her development. But oftentimes, kids long to have a father figure. And so it may not just be the biological father figure, but they idealize who they want to have as a father. And I think that we have to be able to help kids kind of get over and get involved in looking at those issues of paternal deprivation. There's a term called father hunger that was coined by Harry Biller out in Los Angeles. And he says that when there's been a total absence of the father, even though mothers do a tremendous job of raising their children, there's still in many people the longing for that kind of paternal relationship.
And I agree wholeheartedly. I think, you know, we do see children out here longing for those relationships with their mothers and their fathers. And, you know, again, I think I have incredible respect for single moms, single dads, because, I mean, that's a hard journey for them to undertake. But the love they have for their children, they're willing to sacrifice and do that. But as Gary said, I mean, truly that longing is there. And as human beings, you know, I think there is a part of us that wants that mother, that wants that father in our lives. And as children, I mean, we put so much in our parents' hands because they're our parents. And so as a child, I mean, we miss some of those things. And then we grow up and we see other kids with their mother and father involved, and we have questions and things of that nature. And I agree with the caller. I mean, you know, again, this is an opportunity, and as Gary was saying, for us to make sure that even if the father is not involved, we need those male role models involved in some type of way to kind of fill those gaps.
Harold, do you think the lack of a strong father figure in the lives of young men and boys is a major cause of many of today's social problems?
Absolutely. I truly believe that. I mean, I think even going back, and we addressed that in our class, and, you know, just to kind of put it in perspective, our last class, we used a Nurturing Fathers class, is a class called Healing the Father's Wound. And within this class, we do some role playing. And let's say we have 16 guys in this class. We'll have 8 guys sit at a table and 8 guys kind of stand behind the other guy, put his hands on his shoulder. And they whisper in their ear that one thing that they most wanted to hear from their father. And I mean, fathers are emotional wreck because they're hearing it from a stranger. So just think about the impact that they would have truly heard that one thing. I love you. I'll always be there for you. I'll support you no matter what. I'm sorry. if they would have heard that from their father, you know, what that would have meant to them. So again, now when they don't hear those things, they're growing up from little boys into teenagers to men, and they're carrying these wounds, this hurt. And we're asking them later on to become new fathers. Yes, I think a lot of what ails our communities today is from a lack of fatherhood and a lack of direction. But more importantly, I think, you know, as a community, we can do a better job of being a little bit more solution-based to really help these fathers overcome some of those wounds.
So, Gary, what makes a good dad? What are things that dads should be considering going into Father's Day here?
Well, I think one thing is, in order to be a good and effective father, you got to have an awareness of your inner life. You have to be psychologically minded. know what your wounds are, as Harold's saying. You've got to be able to know what your stresses are of the day so you're in touch with who you are. So when you're interacting with your child, you're not impulsively reacting, but you're also aware of your own issues. I think it's extremely important to be involved, mm-hmm. to do things together with your child that the child likes. Oftentimes, dads will introduce their children to activities that they like, and that's fine, but do the things the child likes to do. Bring out their uniqueness. Sort of discover their magic. It's very important. We talked about nurturing before. It's very important to be emotionally responsive to the children. And that means really to be have empathy and be aware of their inner life and what they need. It's important, of course, to financially support the child, to support them emotionally. A lot of the folks I was talking with yesterday in Akron talked about the need for fathers to teach their children how to express feelings, but yet so many fathers don't. Another, I think, important role is just to embrace their uniqueness, to be able to love them for who they are, and they may be very different than their fathers. I think it's also important for fathers to teach respect, respect for women, respect for themselves. I often ask folks, what did you learn from your father about how to treat women? What did you learn from your father about how to treat the neighbors? And the list just goes on and on. I think it's also important for dads to be a good role model. You know, good work ethic, how to save money, how to take care of your things. As the folks up in Northern Ohio said, be available. Mm-hmm. You know, be accessible. And that's changed over the years because now many fathers, whether it's through texting or Skyping, they're available to their child that way as well. I think it's also two other things I think that's important for dads. One is to learn how to play with them, to laugh, to teach them how to enjoy life, take them on adventures, if you will, and also to be a storyteller. I think that when we talk about culture and we talk about knowing our family legacy, I think the father can play the role of being a storyteller and helping that child understand their own cultural history.
We'll put you on the spot here, Harold. We've got about 45 seconds left here. What's the future of fatherhood? Is it bright?
I think the future of fatherhood is extremely bright. I think from a national level, it's a topic of conversation. I think people truly understand the importance of fatherhood, and more importantly, at its root, I mean, for children. I mean, when we can have healthy fathers, we can have healthy families, and that's what it's truly all about.
I don't think a father should turn his back on his children.
Yeah, definitely. My father never did. Had a great father. I'm proud to say that. Miss him much. Well, Harold and Gary, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Director of the Fatherhood Project with Talbert House, Harold Howard, and Dr. Gary Dick, who's professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Caney. Stay tuned for Here and Now next on 91.7 WVXU.